Word. No more talk about that. We're recording now. So, all right. That's a fake pocket.
What's your chest pocket?
Dang it. All right. So, if you're listening online, you're totally missing out on the Christmas blazer. So, just saying. All right. So, let's pray and I'll get back to what I was saying before. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for just the Christmas season. It's just an awesome time of year to be able to take some time and focus on you. Lord, it's the time of year where even the world who wants nothing to do with you seems to at least claim something to do with you, whether they believe it or not. So, Lord, we do pray that you would use us this week as lights to shine what the true meaning of Christmas is, Lord. And it has nothing to do with gifts or packages or bows, Lord, but it has to do with you and your Son and the salvation that comes with it. So, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us today. Put me out of the way, Lord. I don't have a lot to say, Lord, but I know that you do. And so, Lord, I pray that you just bless us this morning with your word in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so back to what I was saying. Before I got saved, some people, when they receive Christ, they have an extensive amount of knowledge about the Bible. At least know what it's about. I didn't. I knew nothing about this book. Like, very, very, very. I didn't know the basic stories, none of that stuff. Right? And so when I want to take some time today and go through the Christmas story, I could have done the fake it till I make it, you know, thing. If somebody would ask me, maybe 3 or 4 years into my salvation, yeah, I know what it's all about, you know. But it was just, I only knew the things that I had learned since I got saved. And it's like, yeah, I know the Christmas story, right? It's on the cartoon, right? Charlie Brown's buddy tells the story, right? And that's true, but I just wanted to take some time today and just go through the story as a whole, kind of back and forth. And if you've heard it, awesome. Because if you get tired of hearing this, you got a problem. Because this is where the foundation of what you claim to be true starts. And there's so much to it. And then there's also a couple things I want to pull out as we go, and some things I found cool as I was kind of preparing for this. So that's where we're at. So hopefully it's beneficial. If not, you know, at least we have fun playing bingo. So, all right. Luke, the book of Luke. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to kind of give you a little synopsis of what's going on so I can get to where we're going. So if you, the book of Luke starts with an angel comes and basically comes to Zacharias, right? And he was a priest. His duty in the temple was to burn incense, right? You can read all of this in Luke chapter 1 at the beginning part of the chapter. I'm fast-forwarding through this because it's a whole lot of verses to tell you what's going on. And so basically, he's an older guy. His wife's an older gal, and they're barren, and they have no children. She obviously can't have children. I don't think it's for lack of trying, but I don't know. But it says that she was barren, right? And so the angel of the Lord comes down in the temple while he's in there by himself burning incense and basically says, hey, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John. And you're like, what? I thought his name was Jesus. Well, no, this is John the Baptist, right? And this all leads to the story, right? And so you're going to have a son, you're going to name him John. He's like, it reminds me a lot of Abraham in Genesis. He's like, I'm old, and my wife's old, and it hasn't worked yet. So, I mean, it's not that I don't believe you. And so he says, yeah, no, it's really going to happen. But because you didn't believe me, you're going to be mute. It says you're going to be dumb until the birth of the child, right? So he cannot speak. He comes out of the temple. He can't speak. And people are like, oh my gosh, what happened to him in the temple? He must have saw, maybe God, right? And so he finishes his time at the temple. He goes home. What do you know? His wife becomes pregnant. He can't speak the entire time. And she ends up having the child. They want to name him Zacharias, and she's like, no, his name is John, right? Because that's what the angel. And so that tells you that at some point he like wrote down for her, we're going to name this child John. So anyway, that kind of fast forwards to the first part of the story. And you might be like, well, why do I care about John? The cool thing here is throughout the entire earthly ministry of Christ, John the Baptist always ushers him in. John the Baptist always ushers him in. And so go down to verse 26, right? So that's kind of the stuff about John the Baptist, right? And then we'll pick up in verse 26, and it says, and in the sixth month, Now, don't get confused with our calendar and think, well, I'm going to figure out when, you know, Jesus was really born off of this Hebrew calendar, right? So it's completely different, but you can actually figure this out, but we're not going to do that today. But it's not, you know, June, so just so you know. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. You're like, I know this, Jason. Okay, well, we're getting there. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. You'll notice that throughout the story, as even back and forth between the chapters. Fear not, right? There's a lot of people that, like, when God gets involved, they get scared, right? Fear not. He says, Fear not. Find where I was at. Mary, thou hast found favor with God. Verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign forever over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, I know that I'm not much of a prophecy-type teacher, but the kingdom that he's talking about, the angel's talking about right there, when it says the kingdom shall be no end, it's talking about the literal kingdom that he will set up on earth after the millennial reign, after Revelation, right? So when you read that and you're like, well, what throne are they talking about? This is prophecy talking about what's coming after God works all this thing completely out. His kingdom shall be no end. Then said Mary, this is the cool part. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, I don't think it meant she's never shook a guy's hand, right? She's a virgin, a true sense of the word. She's never known a man. She's like, so I don't understand how this is going to happen because I don't plan on doing anything that I'm not supposed to do, right? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And he's like, hey, just to prove that what I'm saying is true, here's a little token. You can go figure this thing out. Verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth is Zacharias' wife, right? So they're kin, right? And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. She's like, the angel says, just in case you think I'm lying to you, hey, you know your cousin, Elizabeth, who's never been able to have kids, why don't you go see her? And if you read some more in the chapter, she does. She takes a journey. She goes and sees her. And hey, come to find out, Elizabeth still hasn't told anybody, but yet immediately she knows. It's like, huh, maybe there's something to this thing. So that's just kind of like the laying down of the foundation of what's going on here, right? Flip over to Matthew. Excuse me. Flip over to Matthew chapter 1. And we'll come back to Luke here in a little bit. I think it's interesting to point out that obviously, in all four of the Gospels, they record the death of Jesus, but only two of them, they record the birth of Jesus, right? And it's kind of cool. So Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. I mean, if you want to read the first 17 verses, you can, but you're just going to find out that this guy begat this guy, begat this guy. It's really important stuff if you're studying it out. You find out that there's reasoning and that definitely Christ did come from the line of David. So anyway, Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. So this is where we're really going to start getting into the Christmas story, right? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to kind of go through this, and some of it I'll read a whole lot of, some of it. So when it says that she was espoused to Joseph, somebody tells me what that means. Somebody tell me what that means. That's a really good picture, right? That's a really good picture. I was really, not that I didn't know anything, but I was kind of like thinking that maybe if I did know something that it actually did go through, because it was a really good example, right? So they are, they're even more so than what Chris and Lauren are, right? Because we think of it as engaged. And espoused in the time period that these people lived in was as good as married. It was binding by law already. When you were espoused to someone, you were legally married to them. You just hadn't consummated the marriage, right? For whatever reason. So they were married. It was probably, who knows, but it was probably a fixed marriage, you know, one of those, that's how it was then. So they were espoused to be married, but they had not consummated. So that's what they're talking about when they, he says that. So she's bound by all of the law, you know, all of the law back in Exodus and Leviticus and all those laws that you would be held to as a married woman. Like, you can't be doing this, you can't be doing that, right? And so we'll get to why that matters in a minute. She was espoused to Joseph before they came together. You guys know what that means. They hadn't slept together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So that means that maybe not everybody knew, but Joseph knew. And you can kind of imagine how this went over, right? It doesn't. Up until this point, he knew nothing of anything. And now all of a sudden, this woman that he is practically married to but hasn't slept with is pregnant. Now, that would be a problem in today's world, right? I mean, but it wouldn't be unheard of. And that time frame, that was unheard of, and that was not okay. And not because, because it was wrong. Because if something like that was to happen, there's consequences that go with it. Serious consequences, and we'll get to that in a second. 19, then Joseph, her husband, so that kind of tells you they already are married. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Now, men, this is Christmas service. I'm not going to get all up on your grill. You need to be like Joseph here. You need to be a just man. You need to sometimes give your wife the benefit of the doubt, right? And ladies, it goes both ways. But you need to give your wife the benefit of the doubt. He is a just man. The meaning of just man is follows the law. You know, he's a good dude, right? That's what that means. Being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. What does that mean when it says, and not willing to make her a public example? Somebody know what that means? If he would have called her out, because in the Old Testament law, if you go back to Leviticus, it tells you that if a woman is found in this kind of sin, the husband, the man, is meant to bring her out into the community, to reveal her sin, and then to begin the stoning of her. This wasn't we're not going to be married anymore. This was a punishable by death offense, right? And so it's key to see here what's going on. It says that he was a just man and not willing to make her a public example. He could have immediately said, you know what, we ain't having this, right? I'm going to have a wife that will respect me, that will, right? All the things that, you know, a guy wants to say. No, it says, not willing to make her a public example is minded to put her away privily. Verse 20. So this, remember, verse 20 comes after verse 19 in every book that we read. So just remember that this hasn't happened yet. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. He was a just man enough to give her the benefit of the doubt and not make her an example before he knew the whole story. Right? Now, it's easy to say as you read through it, well, the angel came to him and told him that. He made the decision to not make her a public example before he knew the whole story. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know. I don't ever claim to know how things were happening or what people thought at the time. But I'm guessing this was one of those praise the Lord kind of moments, right? You know, I wasn't there. I don't know. But it was probably one of those, thank you, God, right? One of those kinds of moments, right? That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He's like, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds godly, right? It sounds like she didn't do something she was supposed to, right? Yeah. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, that's really cool. I mean, if you just listen to some of the wordage as you go through the Christmas story, it's like, he shall save their people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. These are references to the book of Isaiah, if you didn't know, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. A couple things to see there. He immediately, to keep her from shame, took her into his house, which would have been the next step in their marriage. And generally, when a man takes a wife into his house, well, things happen under behind closed doors, and that's where babies come from. So the rest of the world sees this as... that's the next step in their marriage. Now she lives with him, and now she's pregnant. Oh, it makes sense, right? But he knows... And he was told of the angel, "Hey, you're not gonna know this woman, right? Until after this." Another thing to point out, because most of you probably know this, but it says that this is her firstborn son. She did have other children after this with her husband Joseph, right? So I'm just pointing some things out. Okay, so that's kind of cool. Flip back over to Luke, right? And as I go through some more of this, I'm gonna start pointing out some things. I do have three things that you can write down if you want to, but I thought was kind of cool. Three things Jesus did from the day of his birth until the day of his death, right? Three things that Jesus did from the day of his birth till the day of his death. And we'll get to those in a minute. Flip back over to Luke, now in chapter 2. Somebody took Luke out of my Bible. Luke chapter 2. I found it. It's there the whole time. Paige is going to get it. Thank you. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Now we really start getting into the Christmas story, right? We really start getting into it. Verse 1. And it came to pass in those days, right? It's very King James. In those days, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And it's like, you said we were going to talk about Christmas, right? Well, it just happens to be that tax time is right around Christmas time, right? Just the way it works.
Some things never change.
I wrote my check out yesterday. Stinking taxes. Just a quick backstory to how this worked, right? So Caesar Augustus is obviously the Roman ruler at the time. And I'm trying to give you guys some backstory because you know the Christmas part of this. So I want to kind of give you what's going on here. So this is kind of the backstory that goes with it. He's the ruler at the time. He basically, Rome at the time was split right before this into kind of two divisions, and Caesar Augustus took over the other one, so now he's ruler of all. So he came up with this idea that, hey, I want to start knowing how many people we got so I can really start taxing them better, right? Because if we got to figure out a better way to tax these people. So that's kind of how this rolls out. So that's why they're being taxed is what they're talking about. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, that's the thing to know. It's not like today where when they do a census, it's just wherever you live, that's where it works. Every person had to go back to their hometown. If you lived hundreds of miles away, you had to go back to your hometown for this census, for this taxation, right? And so, to us, it's like no big deal. That's a long walk, right? That's a long walk. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, which is where they were living at the time, right? That's why it's really cool, because you hear throughout the ministry of Jesus, is he from Galilee? Is he from Bethlehem? Is he from Nazareth? Where's this guy from, right? Well, he's kind of from all these places, right? So, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was the house He was of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, she's still his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, when I hear being great with child, this lady's, she's hurting, right?
It's not Abby.
It's like she's big, right? And something to think about. Mary and Joseph knew. I'm with child of what is they're saying of the Holy Ghost, right? And I'm sure it's just a coincidence that now we have to travel to Nazareth. Wait a minute. Do you remember what the prophets used to talk about? How the Son of God was going to come through Nazareth? And they're starting to put these things two and two together. And, you know, it's like more and more every day Joseph's probably thinking, I made the right decision here. I made the right call here. Verse 6, and it was so that while they were there in Nazareth, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Right? And we've heard this verse hundreds of times, right? So they wrap him up in swaddling clothes. They lay him in a manger, a really nice word for feed trough, right? Laid him in the feed trough because there was no room for them in the inn, right? Well, there's no room for them in the inn because they're not the only one of the hundreds or thousands of people who had to travel to their hometown who were not from there anymore to do this, right? And so that's kind of how that plays out. Verse 8. Now, this is the part that we all know. If you ever watch Charlie Brown Christmas, you could recite this thing, right? It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now think about that. These guys, shepherds are pretty lowly dudes, right? They're just out in the field. There's no lights, obviously. This is, and just watching the shepherds. Who knows what time of night it is? It says it's night, though. And it says the angel of the Lord comes on them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now I'm guessing they got pretty bright pretty quick. If I think of the glory of the Lord like I think of the glory of the Lord, it got bright. And these guys were sore afraid. You kind of got to put yourself in these guys. I mean, it's a good story, but put yourself in these guys' their shoes. They're just shepherds out in the field, and all of a sudden it's daytime.
They don't have flashlights.
No, I mean it's daytime, and it's like, oh my, what's the sheep? What are we gonna do with the sheep, right? I mean, it just everything about this is so awesome and amazing. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. And they're like, yeah, it's easy for you to say. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Right? And so, I was going to write it down. So as you go through just this story, some of the different names that are given to Jesus, right? You can write these names. So it talks about let me find the verse. Well, in that verse right there, it says that he is a Savior. It says that he is Christ the Lord. They don't know anything about this guy, right? It says that he is a Savior. It says that he is Christ the Lord. Earlier in the story, I can't find where it's at. You have to go back and read it. But it says that he's given the title Son. S-O-N. Not capital S. Just he's a son. Right? We'll get to some more in a minute. I meant to hit those as we went through it. So sorry. It says, you shall find... verse 12. And you shall... and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe. That's the next thing he's called, is a babe. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And these guys are like... This story's messed up. He's laid in a feeding trough, right? What? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it went from dark to angel of the Lord to so bright it's daytime to now there's a host of angels. There's something going on here. And it came to pass as the angels were gone were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Well, I thought about that one, Chris, but I actually did think of it, but no. And verse 17, I'm just going to, so I don't miss it, he's also called a child, right? So we'll get to that in a minute. But to go back to the first of the three things that Jesus did from the day of his birth to the day of his death, the first one in verse 15, he caused men to desire to be in his presence. From the day he was born until the day he died, he caused men to desire to be in his presence. Now, it took a little help from God, but, well, if you remember, he is God, so he did that on his own, right? He caused men to desire to be in his presence. Verse 16, and they came with haste. So they were like, I want to go see this thing that the Lord hath made, right? It says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Right? So there they are. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told unto them concerning this child. Right? Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. So, I'm guessing Mary and Joseph weren't the only people hanging out in the stable that night. Right? It's a busy town. There's a lot of things going on. And these shepherds come rolling in and they're like, well, what are you guys here for? You'll never believe what just happened. Right? And so it's basically what they're saying is they told them what they had just seen. And now these people are like, now it's becoming very quickly known there's something going on with this child. There's something going on with this child. Verse 19, But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's been on a journey. Right? There's some things. The last 9 or 10 months have been pretty crazy for this lady, right? And her husband, Joseph. And these people, they're all like, what does this mean? What does this mean, right? There's angels and there's light and night and what's going on? And it says that she pondered them in her heart because she is still, at this point, trying to wrap her head around what God was able to do, what God was able to use her for. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The second thing that Jesus did from the day of his birth until the day of his death, he caused men to glorify and praise God. From the day he was born until the day that he died on the cross with a thief on the cross next to him choosing to glorify God. From the day he was born until the day he died and every day in between, he caused men to glorify and praise God. Right? Flip back over to Matthew. So I mean, that's the story. You guys know the story. He's born. That's kind of how it played out. But you're thinking, what about... We're missing some pieces of this story, right? Because what about the wise men, right? Well, we haven't got to the wise men because the story in Luke doesn't say anything about the wise men. It just talks about the shepherds, right? So I'm trying to put the stories together to kind of see where we get why we say the things that we say, right? Or why we do the things that we do. In Matthew in chapter 2, right? Because we started in chapter 1 and talked about all those things. And in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, now you're kind of backtracking the story just a little bit, right? Of Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, that's not a contradiction in your Bible. You might be like, well, wait a minute. We were talking about Caesar Augustus a minute ago. Herod is kind of the king of Israel at the time. Israel is is underneath Rome. Rome is like king of everything. And there were other smaller places underneath. You still had to pay your taxes to Rome, but as long as you paid your taxes to Rome and went out and served in the Roman army when you needed to, they let this thing play out. So, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, the wise men are not the shepherds. Don't get confused. Sometimes people confuse the two or they make the two the same. It's not the same. The wise men would be, at the time, astrologers or magicians or, you know, they had that kind of title, That's just how things went in those days, right? Saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." They come to town and they just start asking people on the street, on the corner, in the temple, everybody they see, "Where's the King of the Jews? We know he's here." Well, it doesn't say anywhere that they were told that, other than, they were the ones who, they were kind of like, not really prophets, but they got a word, right? And they were the ones who could see the future. You're thinking about like in the book of Daniel and things like that. That's where these guys had their way of things, right? They were, people would go to these guys, ask them for, hey, what's going to happen, this, that, and the other. So they're like, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." They're asking everybody. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Herod's like, "Now hang on a minute. I'm the King of the Jews." Right? Now, maybe not like king, but I'm over this Jewish thing, right? Here's the third thing that Jesus did from the day he was born. He caused men to see who the true king was. He immediately caused men to see who the true king was. And guess what, guys? It's not you. It's not us. I'm going to read the rest of this fairly quickly because we're pretty much out of time. That clock is slow. Verse 4, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." So Herod's pretty concerned about what's going on. Where was this guy supposed to be born at? I want to know where he's at. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea art not the least among the princes of Judea," or Judah, "for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He's like, "Hey, when did you start seeing this star? What is this thing, And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Well, yeah, if you don't know this, he had no desire to worship him. He had all the desire in the world, you'll find out later in the story, to kill him. He wanted to be the king. And that's what we do in our lives. We decide, "I want to be king, and I want nothing to do with Christ." At some point, you have to see who the true king is, right? At some point, right? And this is where I was going to make a smooth transition into sharing the gospel for those who are. But instead, because we're out of time, I'm going to finish the story and be done, right? So, let me find it. Verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." Now, scientists today will try to tell you that this was like a supernova in the sky, or it was a constellation of planets together or something. It was very conveniently moving the entire time that they went and stopped directly over where Jesus was. But, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. But Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house," so they're no longer in the manger anymore. They're not. A day or so has passed. So it's not. Once again, it's not a contradiction in your Bible. They have found somewhere to stay. "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." You want to know why we give gifts at Christmas? Right here, right? We call it a pagan holiday, and we call it, and it is, guys, it's messed up. But we have to see the true meaning in why we do the things that we do. They didn't give him toys or this, that, and the other. They gave him gifts that only a king should receive: gold and frankincense and myrrh. Some of the most precious things that you could give at the time, right? At the time that they lived in, some of the most precious. You can't give a child, you can't give your spouse, you can't give anybody something more precious than something like this, right? We want to give gifts and we want to do these things, and it's really awesome, but we have to understand why we do the things that we do, right? There's a purpose behind it. And it's because Christ is the reason, right? And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they parted into their own country another way. And then real quick, just to prove my point about Herod's intentions. Verse 13, and when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord of the prophets, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. In verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men because they didn't come back like he told them to, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and the coast thereof from 2 years old and younger, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. From the time he was born until the time that he died, people wanted to destroy him, right? So, you guys know the Christmas story. I thought of different ways to try to bring something out that you didn't know. But I kind of just wanted to walk through it, because there's a reason that we do the things that we do. As Christians, sometimes we get mad at the culture. Well, you guys don't understand what's going on. You don't understand the meaning of the season. You're right, they don't. But they're not going to by you being mad and hateful to them about it. Right? They don't understand. You know, all we've done is commercialize Christmas, and all we've done is made this into a pagan holiday. You know what? You're making it worse. Use the time with your lost family. Use the time with your lost friends. Use the time with the crazy people at Walmart. Man, I was there yesterday. That place is a nut house. Right? But I'm just... Yeah. So, use the time to, instead of just continuing to make Christmas what it is today, point it back to Christ, right? Point it back to Christ, even if it's just the way that you simply live, right? I do appreciate you guys. I look forward to next year. I wanted to spend some time and get into what my plan is for next year, but we're out of time. So we're going to read through the Bible in a year. I'm going to send you guys a reading list if you want to join in. I'm going to teach each week out of something that we read throughout that week. That way it keeps everybody on track, and if you get off track, you can jump back on, and you know, it doesn't feel like you've just totally gotten lost. But before that, I'm going to take the first probably 3 or 4 weeks while we're reading through Genesis. Since I just taught Genesis, you're probably tired of hearing about it. I'm going to take the first 3 or 4 weeks and go over just the meaning and the focus of Past Point as a whole, right? So that's what I'm going to teach about for probably through January-ish, you know, and why we're called Past Point, and why we do the things that we do, and why we have that name, right? And the goals and the scripture behind it. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about just all being able to read the same thing every day. So I'll send something out. I wanted to have something today, and I just forgot. So let's pray. Thanks, guys. I do appreciate you. I love all of you. It's been a good year. So, Father God, I love you. I thank you for the day, Lord. I thank you for just the Christmas season and even what it is today, because it gives us even more opportunity to shine the light on you where the rest of the world doesn't. So, Lord, I pray that you would use us. I pray this every week, that you would send us out of lights in a dark world, but that you would really do that this week, as we have opportunity to just really focus on you and bring people to you, Lord. I do pray for service today, as we know there'll be guests, and I pray that you would just speak through Brian, Lord. I pray that the service goes well. I pray for the service tomorrow night, and Lord, I pray that people do decide to bow their knee to you. Just the things that you have done from the day that you were born until the day that you died, and even do still today. You cause people to see who the true King is. So, Lord, I pray that you would just bless this class, Lord, and just use us. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys.